Turn with me, please, to the book of John, the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, praise our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. 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 You know, it really is true. In the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today is Father's Day. It's a worldly observance. It's not instituted by God the Father. It's not a scriptural observance. It's an observance based on the principle of filial love for sons and daughters to their fathers. But it's an opportunity for us to meditate for a few minutes on our Heavenly Father. And I asked the Lord this week, earlier in the week, if He wouldn't, on Father's Day, if He wouldn't speak to us today some things concerning His fatherhood, how that relates to us and our relationship with our children and how that relates to Him. And so I just want us to begin in this passage of Scripture and let him take us wherever He wants to take us. I want to say before we begin to read out of the John 16, there's something very interesting in the contrasting between the Old and the New Testament. If you read the New Testament, you find the Lord Jesus talking about the Father all the time. You see the Apostle Paul and Peter and all of the other apostles talking about the Father all the time. They seem to have a personal relationship with a spirit being that they call Father. And it's God, the Heavenly Father. But have you ever noticed in the Old Testament, not anybody ever addressed Him as Father? It's always Jehovah, Yahweh, Lord God, Almighty. You never see the word Father in the Old Testament used to identify God except in one place. And that's in the book of Isaiah in the 9th chapter. In the 6th verse, where the prophet Isaiah is talking about Jesus, and he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." The only way that we know God as Father is in Jesus Christ. Until He came, nobody ever knew God as Father. He was God. He was almighty. He was omnipotent. He was the one whose laws you'd better obey or He'd come down on you fast and flat. He was not addressed as Father, but rather as God. You read through the Old Testament that the way that people related to God in Old Testament times was through the fear of the Lord. Now, I don't mean the kind of fear that most people think of when we hear the word fear, but rather reverence of God. He's holy God. He's distant God. He's mighty and miraculous in His workings, but He's not personal. He's distant God. Unfortunately, there are many in the world today that still have that same image of God. When they pray, they cry out, "Oh God." When they come to worship, it's, "Oh, it's the Holy God. Be reverent and holy before Him." Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. But our God is a personal God, and He became personal in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus introduced us to God the Father. He was the firstborn of God the Father. He was the first one who ever came after the fall, who knew God as Father and could tell us what kind of a heavenly Father we have. Now let us read this passage here out of the 16th chapter of John. Verse number 23, we're going to start. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. All right, now what I want to pick out of that this morning are these words out of the 27th verse. For the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me. God the Father loves you because you love Jesus. If you have been saved, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have obeyed the commandment of God according to 1 John the 3rd chapter. This is his commandment, that ye believe on the Son he has sent. And because you have believed in the Lord Jesus, God the Father loves you. Now, if God already loves you, if God the Father already loves me as a father does and should, then what does that say about my relationship with him? Do I go before him? God, I know you're a holy and a magnificent God. And frankly, I'm a worm. I don't deserve anything. I'm so insignificant and nothing, and you're so everything. But God, if you only would, just for an instant, just remember that I'm hurting. And just for a minute, just would you please, God? I know you can. I don't know if you want to or not, but please, God. Please help me, God. God, could you do something for me? Please, God. How many of you ever prayed like that? Come on, I'll be honest. That's not the way. Jesus said, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father. The Father. Hallelujah. The Father. In my name, he will give it you. Why? Because he already loves you. He already loves you with a Father's love. Because you have come into his family in Jesus Christ. So therefore, how should you pray? Father, remember, I'm your son. I put you in remembrance of your promise now. You made some promises to me as your child. Lord, I have this need. You know I have it, and I know you want me to have it met. So So I just ask you to take care of this for me, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and thank you for it. Makes a big difference in the way you pray, doesn't it? Makes a difference in the way you come before God, knowing Him as Father, as opposed to knowing Him as God. He says, He loves us. He loves us. He has already said. Some of you will identify with this as young people when you were in your teens. Some of you are still in your teens, and so you'll identify with it. You remember how it was? You men, for example, when you liked a girl. You looked at her, and she looked good. She talked good. And you kind of liked her, but you didn't know whether she liked you or not, and so you wouldn't ask her out. You hardly even wanted to talk to her. See, you could talk to the ones that you didn't like too much because you didn't care how they reacted. But the one that you really liked, you see, that special one, you didn't even want to talk to her because you were afraid that she might rebuff you, that she might not like you. Well, a lot of people are like that with God. They won't go to God because they're afraid He doesn't like them. They won't go to a loving Heavenly Father because they're afraid that He will turn them away. And God all the time is like the girl was. And she's just waiting for you to ask her out. She's just waiting. Just ask me. She'd break the date she already had. Just for you. That's the way God is. See? He loves you. And He wants you to know it first. Do you remember how good it was? If the girl would find the way, she would tell her girlfriend, tell him I like him. Tell him I'd like to go out with him. Once you found that out, you bowled right up there. You know, like that, see? Once you knew what the answer was going to be, you knew the answer was going to be yes. So he'd say, hey, how would you like to go to a ball game on Friday night with me? Or wherever you used to go, you know, when you were doing those kinds of things. It's a whole lot easier once you know how you're going to be received. That's the whole point. Well, Jesus has told us here how we are going to be received when we come before our Father. He says He loves you already. He's just waiting for you to ask Him. Just come before Him, remind Him that you belong to me. Just use my name. You remember the old sage that I don't know who used to use this, but I think it was even a song. Just mention my name in Sheboygan. And the idea being you could get anything you wanted in Sheboygan if you mentioned that name. Well, it's the same here. Jesus says, mention my name in heaven and you can get anything. Because why? Because the Father already loves you. And He wants you to know that when you come before Him, He has already declared His love for you. He's already proven His love for you. He has poured out the lifeblood of His only begotten Son. He has shed the best that He had for you. He's already demonstrated your love, or His love for you and for me. So why should we not go to Him in confidence, expecting to receive? We read last week out of Romans 8, about the 30th, 31st, and 32nd verse, that He that spared not His own Son, but gave Him up for us, how shall He also not freely give unto us all things? In other words, the fact that He gave Jesus for us ought to be evidence to us that everything else that we have need of, He will also give. Jesus time and time again used the analogy of the earthly father and his children. The good earthly father, I should say. All earthly fathers are not like this heavenly Father. Praise God, many are. But He said, what man among you, if his son came to you and asked for a fish, would give him a serpent? Or if he asked you for a piece of bread, would give him a stone? No, you wouldn't do that. In the same way, shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask Him. God's made His promises so clear. He's made them so plain. So plain. But I'm going to tell you why it's so hard for us to understand this. And I want to speak to fathers right now. I want to speak to dads. It's difficult for many to understand this kind of a father because our image of father has not been the same image that this father is. This father doesn't ever withhold any good things. This father disciplines when it is necessary. This father chastises when it's in the best interest of the child. This father gives of himself completely for the benefit of the child. Unfortunately, all earthly fathers aren't like that. But on Father's Day, I want to say to you fathers, that the kind of father you are to your sons and daughters is probably the single most important thing that you can do or not do in leading your children to God and in leading them to the fullness of God's provision. I'm amazed at how many people I talk to, unsaved, who, when I talk to them about the love of the Father God, when I try to share with them the heart of the Father, I try to explain to them what's in God's heart towards them, they don't have anything to relate it to. They don't have anything to measure it up with. Because their father wasn't anything like that. They didn't receive love from their father. They didn't receive protection from their father. They didn't receive provision from their father. They didn't receive encouragement or comfort from their father. I tell you, in my own life, and it gave me great pleasure to be able to do this, but Father's Day a year ago, the Lord really ministered this truth to me. And I sat down, I wrote my own father a letter. Hallelujah. And I wrote him in, I really meant it, that if it hadn't been for him, I never could have understood God. If it hadn't been for his love, if it hadn't been for his provision, if it hadn't been for his goodness, if it had not, now I'm not preaching about my father, you understand? I'm just making an example. If it had not been for his discipline, if it had not been for his chastisement, if it had not been for his instruction, I would not have been able to understand what God was trying to do in my life. I could not have ever come to God because I would never have understood what this Bible is talking about. Now, this is true for you and for me. Those of you especially that have young children, if you want to be the kind of father that God would have you to be, if you want to be the best kind of a father, then you be the God kind. You treat your children the way God treats you. You seek to emulate God the Father in ministering to your children. Don't leave out the love. Don't leave out the mercy. Don't leave out the tenderness. Don't leave out the joy. Don't leave out the time together. Don't leave out the fellowship. Don't leave out the discipline. Don't leave out the spanking. It's all part of the fatherhood of God. And it's all part of what God has established in the family. The family unit is a model of the family of God. Those of you who are dads, have been given an inheritance of the Lord. The children that God has brought from your loins are an inheritance from the Lord. And as dads, we are accountable unto Him for those little boys and those little girls. And as we prayed here for these Bible school teachers, we prayed recognizing that responsibility. Not that the teachers have as much, but that the parents have. To see that those children are led to God. To see that they are developed in godly things. Now it's impossible for you to be a godly father without God in your life. You can't do it. It's absolutely impossible. It's impossible for you to be the kind of father God wants you to be without your life being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Because it's only Him that can lead you in those paths. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of Matthew, the 4th verse, I believe, and on down through, He quoted the Old Testament covenant, honor your father and your mother. Well, this is the first commandment with promise, that you live a long life on the earth. Jesus knew the importance of the family. Did you ever wonder why God didn't just establish Jesus on the earth at 30 years old, ready to go to bat? Did you ever wonder why God didn't establish Jesus Christ as a full-grown man without a family? God has ordained the family unit. He's ordained fathers. He's ordained mothers. Why? To bring up children to know God and to love Him. And His Word is full of those kinds of enjoiners. Now, my exhortation to dads is this. Don't try to be a godly dad apart from this Word. You can't do it. Don't try to be the kind of father that God wants you to be apart from this book. The better you get to know your Father God, the better you will be as a father to your children. The more we know about the heart of God the Father, the better we will know how He wants us to be with our children. And the word that I have to say to you today, dads, is be the kind of father to your children that God the Father is to us. One who first loveth. One who first loveth and makes that love manifest in his actions. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You are our Father. We thank You, Lord, that Jesus introduced us to a father, not a boss. He introduced us to a father, not a slave driver. He introduced us to a father of love and compassion and mercy. Yes, judgment as well. But a loving heavenly Father, abounding in love and with endless mercy, whose compassion and mercy endures forever. The wonderful stories, Father, that You have shown us in the Scripture about that love. The father of the prodigal son, how he received his son home into the fullness of blessing. We know that's just how You are. Lord, we pray today for each and every one of us, but especially for our fathers, that they would be open and yielded to Your Spirit, that Your Spirit would have full sway and freedom to work in each of these dads' lives. And Lord, we thank You for our fathers, for how much of You that You have revealed to us in them. And while we do not worship our fathers, but we look through them to you, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us earthly family relationships to introduce us to eternal truths and to share with us in that way, through our fathers, the Father heart of God. We acknowledge, our Father, that we don't understand it completely. I'm sure that there are a few of us here who would give our son for another, especially for a sinner. But you did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive that ransom. We receive that substitute. We thank you, our Father, that because we love him, you have established your love upon us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for all that you've done. Amen. Come now, James, please.
Stand. Hymn number 681.
Forget the evening service tonight at 7. We're receiving some new members at 6 o'clock, and they'll be sharing their testimonies tonight, a number of them, at the 7 o'clock service. That's always a good time, so we'll have testimony time tonight. If you have something that you want to share, bring that tonight. We'll give you an opportunity to share that also with God's people. Praise the Lord. After we pray, I want you to... Well, let's just pray, and then I'll ask you to do that. Close your eyes just a moment, please. Father, we thank you for what you've given us today. We thank you, Lord, for ministering by your Spirit. We thank you for the privilege of praising and worshiping you and for the way that you have dwelt in the praises of your people. Thank you, our Father, that you are our Father, and we can call you, Father, that you're close like that, personal, close and personal to us. Father, we ask you to help us to lead some others this week into the kingdom of God. Help us to enlarge the family, Father, by bringing new brothers and new sisters into the family. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I want you to turn to that person who's next to you and just say, God bless you, my brother, or God bless you, my sister.